Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology. What's going on in the woods right now? Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Well, now, these little guys seem to be right now all over the place. So talk about white-crowned sparrows.
Sure. Yeah, this has been a really fun year for me with white crowns. Normally, I don't know if it's partly probably because we live kind of in the woods. We don't have any big openings around us. So we're not, you know, a huge attraction to sparrows of various kinds that like more open ground. But we see a few of various kinds, and including each spring, we typically see a few white-crowned. But this year, we've had this one that has hung around for quite some time. I think it's the same bird, but we only see one at a time, and that's all there's been so far. So I guess it's likely that it's the same bird. And so I think they're just a stunning bird, very kind of sharp in terms of their the pattern of their of their plumage, and they seem just very focused, like all the birds seem to be this time of year. But I've really enjoyed just being able to admire its beauty and watch its behavior, and so it got me thinking more about them.
Well, we must live in a little bit more open area. Mm-hmm. We've got quite a bit of yard, and we have quite a few right now.
All right.
And along with the white throats, and they both have bicycle helmets for on their heads. And I think, aren't they a little smaller?
Well, no, I don't think they're
about
smaller.
The same size?
I think they're about the same size. They're about 7 inches long, and they have a longish tail. Like you say, they have a lot of similarities to the white throats, but they do definitely look different. And in the case of the white-crowned sparrows, the males and females look alike. And so they have that real bold black and white stripes on the head. The white crowns do not have any yellow lores, so that's the little flare of yellow above kind of the eye and behind the eye a little bit, which is what the white throats have. They do not have the white throat. They have that beautiful, I just love that pearl gray of their breasts. It's just beautiful. And the nape of their neck and the side of their face. Oh, so pretty. And they have a pink to yellowish to orangish bill, which is different also than the white throats. Their back is streaky brown. So in that way, they're
usually have a pretty good opportunity to see them if they come to your bird feeder, because like most sparrows, they stay.
Yeah.
You know, chickadees come grab something and leave. Nuthatches grab something and leave.
Yeah.
Sparrows stay and eat.
Yeah,
they feed.
They feed, right.
So you got plenty of opportunity to identify them and tell the difference between the two species if you've got them both in your bird feeder.
Yeah. And they, at least in my watching them, I see it seems that the white-crowned sparrows do more of that kind of the double hop and dig that the fox sparrows do a lot. And if you've ever seen towhees in the woods somewhere, they do that a lot. So where they use their powerful legs and feet to jump back and pull the whatever's on the surface of the ground.
Now, that's pretty
away.
Typical of all sparrow.
Yeah, but types, some do it a lot more powerfully. And then some, like the white crown, then quickly jump forward and kind of pounce.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when they're around, like you say, and you can really watch them, it's a great time to really observe the different ways that sparrows get at stuff. And when the snow was still quite deep at our place, and we'd have more snow, and they were trying to get down to where there were seed particles and things that had been deposited below the feeders. There were places where they dug holes that were close to 6 inches deep in the snow to get down to those to the remnants down there.
Determined little guys.
So yeah, they are, and they're strong. So the white crowns are going to be nesting further north, so they don't stick around here. So they're more of an open tundra, taiga, nester. They tend to be found in more open habitats, shrubby edges of shrubby habitats, and they're big seed eaters, but of course in the summertime they eat a lot of insects like most birds do. And of course they'll also during their migration and later in the year be using fruits and other plant material as part of their diets too, but they're big on seeds, and that's both seeds and little invertebrates are what they're really trying to find in that digging that they do. There's some interesting little tidbits about them that I didn't know until recently when I thought, I got to really find out more about these folks. So they apparently have been of great interest from a research standpoint because of their capacity to stay alert for very prolonged periods of time. So apparently up to 2 weeks during migration, they do not sleep. They cannot sleep for up to 2 weeks. And so people have been looking into what the mechanism is for that in terms of looking for ways. Is there a way that we could use that in humans who have to deal with shift work or, truck drivers or people who need to stay awake for, extended periods of times or to limit the drowsiness or whatever. So I thought that was really interesting. And they also, people investigating kind of movements and energetics in animals, birds and other animals have found that they can run on a treadmill for at like 3 miles an hour and not get tired. So they have just a really high capacity for high stamina, I guess, is how I would interpret that. Just a great deal of stamina. They nest on the ground or very low to the ground because if you think about where they live far north, there isn't a lot of tall stuff. So they might be a little bit off the ground. And typically that's where we see them when they're here. You don't see them, I don't anyway, ever up in the trees or whatever. They stay close to the ground, hop around in the branches of shrubs or trees that are, near an opening. But otherwise they stay pretty low to the ground. But of course, when they're actually migrating at night, then they're up there in the in the heavens above. But I just really have enjoyed having more of an opportunity to watch them this year. And I believe they'll linger a little bit longer, but then they'll have to get off and get out there into the big northern world beyond.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings on in our woods and waters. Thanks for bringing us up to date on white crowns.
You're welcome.